Chapter 4, Everyday Culture to the Glory of God. We come at last to the text with which I introduce this essay, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In this and the verses that follow, Paul outlines five practical steps that believers can take in the everyday activities and culture of their lives to help ensure that on the front lines of the culture wars, they fight under the banner of God's glory. Making these practices our own will require careful and ongoing preparation along the lines previously outlined. At the same time, it will require of us constant mindfulness, mutual encouragement and accountability, and prayerful reflection and practice. We begin by making sure we understand what it is we seek through our involvement with everyday culture. The glory of God. Like many other phrases easily affirmed but barely understood or lived among the members of the Christian community, the glory of God requires some more focused discussion. What does this phrase mean? For unless we understand what the glory of God intends, we shall have difficulty living in such a way as to refract glory through all our cultural activities. We must understand that by the glory of God we intend not merely the glory which is hidden in all creation and which remains invisible to eyes that simply refuse to see it, see Romans 1 verse 18 and following, but the glory of God that becomes manifest as believers employ their cultural opportunities to point to the kingdom that is not of this world. The glory of God is nothing other than the weighty presence of God when He manifests Himself to our eyes in glimpses of His eternal beauty, goodness, and truth. We are called to live in such a way as that everything we do will glow, glimmer, and glisten with the aura of otherworldliness that declares our citizenship in the city of God and points others to our King. By learning about culture and its standards, sources, and fruits, we will improve our skills at discerning and mining the glory of God in all the cultural veins where He has hidden it. Increasingly, we will begin to practice the art, like Jesus with Caesar's coin and Cooper with his sofa, of drawing out the polychromatic presence of God in the various aspects of our everyday cultural lives. To grow in this ability, we must train ourselves through scripture, study, and close observation, to see God's glory and the prospects of it in everyday things. And we must be ready, like museum docents, to aid others in catching a glimpse of that glory by excellent and virtuous example and gracious and patient conversation. God makes His glory known to us by His Word and Spirit, as He shapes us into the image of His own dear Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. The more we become familiar with the experience of God's glory in those times of sweet prayer and reflection, the more we will be able to recognize that glory when confronted with it in everyday situations and to express that glory in all our words and deeds. The first step in fulfilling our calling on the front lines of the culture wars is to seek, enter, enjoy and express the glory of God more completely and consistently every day of our lives. Avoid scandalous behavior. Second, Paul explains, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, we must labor to keep from being a stumbling block to others in the use we make of our culture. We do not want our use of culture to be for others a cause of their stumbling into ways that do not honor God. Rather, we must seek in all things to edify others by our cultural lives and to discourage any cultural practices that are contrary to the character, context, and consequences of the kingdom of God. Here it would be good for us to visit often such biblical ideas as graciousness, modesty, courtesy, respect, and purity, especially where such everyday cultural activities as dress, conversation, work, and diversions are concerned. By meditating on passages such as Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Galatians 5, verses 16 through 23, and 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, we may begin to train our souls and bodies for righteousness and edification, and to discourage cultural involvement which is debasing, dehumanizing, or otherwise contrary to the good purposes of God. We must not allow our lives to be a cause of someone else's stumbling. Instead, let us be careful that in all things we put in place the guardrails of a pathway for the Lord rather than potholes of hindrance or obstruction. Serve others first. Third, 1 Corinthians 10:33, Paul says that we must learn to think about others and their needs and interests as our first priority at all times. Let us make it our mission to bring delight, assistance, affirmation, encouragement, and godly pleasure to others in all we do. The people with whom we engage everyday culture for the glory of God should experience us as warm, engaging, generous, edifying, thoughtful, attentive, and kind. Not blaring and boastful, critical and condemning, or haughty and holier than thou. We should also be mindful of those who merely observe our behavior, that what they see in us, though from a distance, is consistent with the character and purposes of God and His glory. We cannot point others to the glory of God if we are indifferent to them and their needs and concerns, or if we are constantly seeking to attract attention to ourselves, coveting the focus of others. As Jesus demonstrated in the upper room, when we position ourselves as servants of others, setting aside our own interests and taking up whatever posture or tools will help us in meeting the needs of others, we demonstrate the kind of love that refracts the resurrection life and glory of the Lord of glory Himself. Keep the salvation of others in mind. Fourth, 1 Corinthians 10:33, Paul counsels us always to keep in mind the salvation of others as we engage in everyday cultural situations and activities. We must ever bear in mind that the people to whom we would manifest the glory of God are, or may be, the objects of His redemptive love. Those who are Christians, with whom we are culturally engaged, need to be encouraged at all times to work out the salvation God has granted them so that they may drink ever more deeply of the chalice of grace and truth which He has poured into their lives. Philippians 2, verse 12. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14. Our use of culture should remind, encourage, and stimulate our Christian brethren to good works that glorify God. Hebrews 10, 24. Matthew 5, verse 16. At the same time, since many people come to initial faith in Christ by stages, we must be careful in all our activities to illuminate a pathway that leads naturally enough to belief in Jesus Christ and salvation through His life, death, and resurrection. This is not to suggest that every opportunity for showing the glory of God through the artifacts, institutions, and conventions of everyday culture must be considered as an evangelistic meeting. Evangelism, of course, includes the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, at some point. But the work of seeing someone come to faith in Christ occurs along a spectrum of activities which is rather like cultivating a field. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. God alone can bring a person to saving faith, and He indeed desires all men to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Knowing this, we must engage our cultural activities as if we were spreading before our unsaved friends and associates a roadmap indicating the way to the kingdom of God. Nothing of what we do should lead those around us into cultural dead ends. Everything must point to that glow just over the horizon which informs and guides all aspects of our lives. If we can keep that point in mind and engage all our cultural activities as signposts along the road to that destination, we may find our witness to Christ will receive a more ready hearing when, in God's timing, we are able to give an explanation for the hope that is within us. 1 Peter 3:15. Imitate Paul and Christ. Finally, Paul enjoins us to imitate him as he imitates Christ, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. We may expect to grow in glorifying the Lord in every area of our lives to the extent that we embrace the lifestyle of Paul and the other apostles, self-denying, esteeming others better than ourselves, deeply and comprehensively spiritual, growing and fruitful, circumspect and excellent in all things, eager to serve, gracious and ready in all our speech, and characterized overall by love. These five practices, built on a growing foundation of prayer, study, conversation, and accountability, can help to ensure on the front lines of culture that we will be able to engage each opportunity in a way that leaves the fragrance of Christ and the weighty presence of God lingering in the souls of those with whom we have to do. Everyday culture represents the front lines of the contemporary culture wars. Here we as Christians have the most consistent and potent opportunities for hand-to-hand combat in laboring to advance the kingdom of God. The tools and weapons at our disposal are as many and varied as all the cultural artifacts, institutions, and conventions we make use of at any moment. All day long, the way we engage in everyday culture is making a statement about who we are and what we believe. Let us resolve that increasingly all our cultural activities will become staging grounds for drawing out the hidden meanings and multifaceted glory of God, so that we minister His grace and truth to our neighbors and advance the kingdom of light. You've been listening to Christians on the Front Lines of the Culture Wars by T.M. Moore, Principal of the Fellowship of Alba. The Fellowship of Alba is a spiritual fellowship in the Celtic Christian tradition. We are dedicated to serving the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ in a variety of capacities. To that end, we offer services and publications across a broad spectrum of Christian interests. Visit our website, www.ailbe.org, to discover the many outstanding resources to help you improve your walk with the Lord.